wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, yeah. Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
And as always, remixes are free right here on Sports Club. Welcome in. Happy Thursday. Oh my goodness, what a week. What a friggin' week it has been. It has been quite entertaining on my side of things. Some things we'll talk about, some things we won't. But just know that I'm here. We're going to talk a lot of things. We're going to talk Tiger Woods. Of course, we are. We're going to talk Russell Wilson. Real talk, I'm actually going to get to the NBA playoffs. I have it written down, I believe. I actually do have it written down, so I'm going to try my best. I totally forgot to do it. I don't think it matters much in the first round. There hadn't been that many big things. We're talking NHL playoffs, of course, because we know I have been watching just as many games I can fit in. It probably has a lot to do with my lack of sleep. It's quite all right. And thanks to a DVR, I have seen a good bit of every game that has happened. There have been some crazy things happening there. Talk Atlanta United. Let's see. What? There was something else. Yeah, there's just some basketball news, some other stuff as well. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. But, of course, like I said, this is Sports Club Board Check. Hear the roar. I think you guys know what I'm referring to there. No, we're not on African Safari. We are we're talking a lot of stuff. But of course, this check the Ag York. If you have not listened to the show before, typically it's just Sports Club or it's just Board Check. Board Check where we talk hockey. Sports Club where we talk pretty much everything else. Mainly football is the focus of that. But if it's your first time in, welcome. If it's not your first time in, welcome back. As we see the Canes girls really riling up the crowd, we do have the Canes Caps game on here. So if I suddenly fade off or yell really loudly, you'll know what's going on. But that being said, as I always like to quote the great Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports media. Well, let's start right there with Tiger Woods. Now, I can't lie. I didn't know about the earlier start time. I had plans of Sunday getting up, getting some stuff done. Kind of rest, you know, that's it's the Lord's Day. I was actually, didn't have anything on the books, really. Ended up doing some stuff later, but nothing that was work. It was all leisure. But as I said, I got up. I was doing some stuff around the house, and I saw an alert come on my phone about the time I think Tiger did his shot on 12. That, hey, Tiger's got the lead. He's only got a few holes left, and it's the last round of Augusta, and I was like, okay. So I immediately flipped on the TV, sat down, didn't move again till the end of it. You know, in order to, because of the weather, they decided to go as trios. I didn't have a problem with that. I think they should play trios more often, honestly. But just watching, it seemed like as Tiger was playing, I'm not going to say playing it safe. But as Tiger continued to just steady his pace, once he had a lead, he was all about keeping that lead. Like I said, I'm not going to say play it safe because he was still taking some chances out there, but everybody else was hitting it in the water. He was hitting it safely in the other direction. Makes sense, right? But watching him dial everything in, you know, it's the biggest comparison that came to my mind, because this is a throwback. The last time Tiger was really roaring like this, and you really hear that Augusta roar, as they say. The roar for Tiger is unlike anybody else. There's not anybody else out there that gets the crowd as into it as when he's really chowing down on the course. What it reminded me most of, for all your wrestling fans, and you guys know I'm a big pro wrestling fan, it reminded me of how a lot of the people in my generation want the Attitude Era to come back. But unfortunately, it's just not going to happen. It's just the perfect time when that happened. But in the same way that we wanted that back, we wanted Tiger back. We wanted that Tiger back. And we're getting a chance to maybe relive it by going back through a subscription streaming service, or it was fine. WWE Network is a fantastic deal. But we're actually seeing the resurgence of Tiger the way he used to be. Now, was he still leaving a few shots out there? Yeah, he was. He's not, you know, he's not going to ever be at the height where he was. But then again, most everybody didn't think he'd win another tournament. He would have that last year. Nobody thought he'd win another major. Guess what? He just won Augusta. Augusta, the elite. I don't care what other people say, and this is not Georgia bias, because it happens a handful of hours from where I'm at a majority of the day. Or a handful of hours from where I'm at right now. No, the Masters is the biggest tournament on the PGA Tour. Now, the Players, big. It's big. I think it's just called the Open now, instead of the British Open. But it's there. And let's see, the Players. Oh, and the U.S. Open. Those are the major four. Is that to take away from any of those? No, not at all. But Tiger not only won another tournament, but he pretty much starts this year by winning the biggest tournament of the year, the Masters, his fifth green jacket. I believe he is, I think he's second. He's like one behind somebody for that. He is three majors away from Arnold Palmer, if I can get that right. And he is like one, I don't know, tournament or something like that away. He's probably going to break the records, guys. Now, there's a lot of factors that have to go in, especially on the one with the majors. But without getting too far into fantasy land, because this is what we all want to happen, or a majority of us, it was so good to have Tiger back that it brought a lot of people back together. It brought people who had not really watched a lot of golf or tried to get back into it. Maybe Rory's not really your thing. Maybe Jason Day, Jordan Spieth, Bubba Watson, Phil Mickelson. Maybe they're not Tiger, so maybe you turned away for a minute. That's fine. It happens in every sport. A big, high-profile player leaves for some reason, and the sport suffers a little, and it did. They'll all tell you that. Augusta's probably that's probably some of the biggest ratings they've had in 10 years. But it brought people back to golf, back to the TV, back together. There's a closeness to when everybody can come together to watch something great happen like that, and to have those memories, and everybody can recall on those memories. The new generation, instead of us saying, well, you got to go back and watch what he did here. Well, you have to go back and watch. No, we could point to the TV and go, that's the Tiger that we're always telling you about. What better way to teach the new generation to show? I mean, you want to know why the Jason Days and the Jordan Spieths and the Bubba Watsons, for the most part, took up golf? you think they spun a wheel and it landed on golf now. Maybe they played it with their families and such like that and liked it, but no. It's because when they grew up, they did what we did. They're watching the TV, watching Tiger at his height and saying, I want to do that. He inspired generations of people. Sure, what he did off the course, I'm not a fan of that whatsoever. He's paid for it, though. But what better moment? Everybody said it. What better moment than at the end of the tournament, after he wins, he picks up and hugs his son to share that moment the same way him and his dad did, 22 years before that when he floored everybody, was the youngest Masters winner, and set a bunch of records that time. But no, that's exactly what this did. This is, we can't relive the Attitude Era, but we get a second go-round with Tiger Woods. And I'm all in. I'm all in on it. I already watched golf. Do I keep up like I used to? No. But I already watched golf. I like a lot of those guys I mentioned a while ago. There's Dustin Johnson. I'm a big Dustin Johnson fan. Rory, I like those guys. I'll always be a Phil fan. But knowing Tiger's out there, that's going to make all of them elevate their games. They're going to take more chances because they're going to know, hey, Tiger's lurking. He's around here. I got to stay on my game because he's already beat me once at the Masters. What is he going to do at the Buick Open? And sorry, but apparently technical glitches, storms all in the area, as usual. Man, we really got to build like an underground bunker or something. But no, like I was saying, just to cap off that first intro point I was making, Tiger Woods is back. He's bringing us all back together, not only so we can watch, but so we can get out there, we can play some golf. I know I'm looking forward to playing some golf here soon. I was going to play some anyway, but I'm looking forward to it. Tiger's back. We're all back. Welcome back. Let's see, what can we get into next? Well, all right, let's get into some football, right? The NFL schedules were released. And I could go through all the other different ones and such like that. I'm just going to go through the regular season. The regular season of the Atlanta Falcons, all right? All right. Based off of what we know up to this point, because we don't know how the draft's going to go, we don't know if anybody's going to get injured or get traded between now and the beginning of the year, let's just start. And usually I don't do this, but I want to talk about each of these games just to roundabout see where we think things are going to go. We'll get Reggie on here in the next, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, maybe next week, talk draft, and see his take on all this. But let's start. Week one, they'll be in Minnesota to take on the Vikings. Can they beat the Vikings? Yes, I think they can. I think that's because you got to think, the Atlanta team that finished the year is not the Atlanta team that started the year. Because of all the injuries, because of all the other things that happened, that was not the same team that started the year. So, can they beat Minnesota? Yeah. I'll give them Minnesota. Then they get the Eagles at home, week two. That looks like a Sunday night game. It's going to be pretty big. Can they beat the Eagles? I very much think they can. We got to see how healthy Carson Wentz is going to be. They don't have Nick Foles anymore. They've lost some people here and there because of not being able to pay them. So, yeah, let's give them that. So, 2-0 so far. Then week three, they go to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. I'll tell you right now, go ahead and pencil in Indianapolis as probably – a top two or top three AFC team. It's probably between them and New England currently in my head as to who is going to be Super Bowl representative. New England, just because every time you count them out, they beat everybody. But Indianapolis, they're that team this year. So, first loss. They get Tennessee at home the following week. Well, that's academic at that point. That's a win. Because they don't know what they're going to get at Mariota. And if it all goes south for Mariota, and over to Ryan Tannehill. So, yeah, have fun with that one. The next week, they get the Houston Texans. Now, they do pretty decent against running quarterbacks. The quarterbacks that run the most on them are the ones who don't usually run. So, besides Russell Wilson. I think Houston takes based off last year, which is what we're basing it on, I'm going to go ahead and give Atlanta the win on that one. So, that's 4-1 at this point. Then they get the Cardinals in Arizona. That last one was in Houston. In Arizona, based off everything we know right now, yeah, I could probably beat the Cardinals. Week 7. Wow, they get really lucky. Their bye week is in the middle of the check this out. So they go away, home, away, home, away, away. Two straight home games in a bye week. And then at the end, they get three straight home games. So that's incredible. Week 7. They will host the L.A. Rams. That's just a regular 1 o'clock game. I'll tell you, they beat the Rams in the playoffs. I'm going to – I want to be real about it. Let's see where other losses may be. I'm going to be real about it. I'm going to say the Rams might be a loss just because you had the two away games come home. You got Seattle the next week. I'm going to pencil that in as a loss, even though I think they can win that, because I don't want to get everybody's hopes up too far up, you know. They get the bye week, week 9. So the way I have them right now, I got them 5-3, potentially 7-1 going into the bye week. They come out of the bye week. They go to New Orleans. I think based off what we know there, we'll go New Orleans as a loss. They go to Carolina the following week. Carolina's a win. They host Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's a win. New Orleans, they always split with New Orleans. So I'm gonna put a New Orleans win on that one. Then they turn around and host Carolina. They host Tampa Bay in week 12, the Saints on Thanksgiving, that Thursday. Then the week after that, they host Carolina. I think they're going to sweep Carolina and Tampa Bay. But after hosting Carolina, they are going to San Francisco. Yeah, that's a win. They are hosting Jacksonville. Yeah, that's a win. And then at the end of the year, week 17, they get to go to Tampa Bay. So, what's that? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. I got them 12-4. I got them 12-4. And that's just based off of last year. If I actually divided some of those up and actually tried to determine something like that, they probably, realistically, let's say 10-6. And I can tell you, Tampa doesn't have their ducks in a row yet. You know, they just got a new coach. Bruce Arians is going to have them ready to play, but they're not ready to compete for the division. The Saints are going to take a step back for many reasons. Carolina, I think, is always a wild card one way or the other, but they're due for a semi-down year again. So, Falcons, this is your division. This is absolutely your All right, another delay. Who knows what's going on that time? Connectivity issues. I think it has to do with the wind blowing around the cloud that has suddenly been above us for the last 20 minutes. But to recap what I was just saying, Tiger's back. Tiger has brought us all back to the TV and brought us all back together. And also that I think the Falcons, just off the top of my head, could go 12-4. I think realistically they'll go 10-6. Tampa is going to be down this year again. It's going to take Arians a year to sort of. New Orleans is going to take a step back, and Carolina is always a coin flip. And I think this year it's tails. I think it's going to be tails because we don't know about the health of Cam Newton. So. Falcons, it's your division. It's not just given to you. It's your division to do what you've been wanting to do since Dan Quinn year, and that's start dominating this division. You're going to have all the guys back from injury. Should be a good time to do that. Real quickly, Zion's going to enter the NBA draft, and what surprised absolutely no one. What did surprise a lot of people is Luke Walton, who was unceremoniously let go from the Lakers, is now going to head coach the Sacramento Kings, instantly making them a lot of people's new favorite team. Congratulations to Luke. I got an NBA guy I want to have on here soon, and I have he's also a big Laker fan. So I've got that in the works. When I have him on, I got a lot of Laker stuff, a lot of basketball stuff. So you guys just hang on for that one. The Clippers erased a 31-point deficit to win versus the Warriors the other night. That was really cool. It looked like the Warriors were just trying to coast through again like they do anyway, and they got caught. Can the Clippers win this series? I don't know. You gotta beat the Warriors three other times. I know they play later tonight, but the Clippers are really fun to watch. But the Warriors are really, really talented and really, really good. This may be one of the best. It may be one of the actual best. Maybe one of the best series of the opening round. A lot of them are kind of hit-ish. Boston is taking care of the Pacers. They're up 2-0 in that series. Milwaukee has pretty much taken care of Detroit. They're up 2-0. Houston is taking care of the Jazz, as they should. 2-0 in that series. You get the Brooklyn Nets, who are... They're in game three right now versus the 76ers. That's tied 1-1. You know, the Brooklyn Nets, about time we saw the Nets back up like that. And Philadelphia better watch it, or they might be on the outside looking in again. Also today, you get – let's move there. Also today, you will get Warriors-Clippers. They are tied 1-1. Let me just go through all the series. It's going to be easier that way. I didn't want to see all the... Okay. See if we get some... No, not getting any of these links to work. That's nothing new. All right, we'll go back to... Okay. Told you Boston's up 2-0. Houston's up 2-0. Milwaukee's up 2-0. The Nuggets and Spurs, who play at 9 p.m. tonight, are tied 1-1. It's good to see the Spurs back in it. Hey, good to see the Nuggets. You got also tied at 1-1 is the Warriors and Clippers that I was telling you about. Also... if we can get anything to load at this point. But no, like I said, there really hasn't been a lot of super crazy any kind of super crazy surprises at this point. Let's see if we can pull that up there. As the Canes have went back up 2-1 with a couple seconds left to go in the second. No, it's not being any real helpful, but okay, here we go. I told you about those series. You got Portland, OKC. Portland should take care of OKC, but hey, we'll just have to see. Denver and Spurs, I told you about. Toronto and Orlando. Toronto should take care of Orlando. They're probably going to get smoked by the winner of Brooklyn and Philly next time around. I think I told you about all the rest of those. So, that's what a little bit of NBA I know at this point. Been able to follow along a little bit here and there. But, hey, I'm not a big NBA fan, but this season I paid a lot more attention than I usually do. And it has been exciting. I am back into supporting the Hawks, which was nice. Especially this, it's Trae Young, but to see this team slowly start putting some pieces together, I think in the next year or so, you're really going to see some good stuff down here in Atlanta. But like I said, I got an NBA guy, and I got a, he's also a big Laker guy. So when I get him on, I think you guys are going to really enjoy that. Other things I want to get into. The Braves lost closer. Their closer was Aroldis Vizcaíno for the season. He decided to go ahead and get some surgery. He was going to try to play through it and decided to go ahead and do that. Let me just go ahead and say, people have immediately said, why not sign Craig Kimbrell? Because you can't just throw money at something. There's a reason why Craig Kimbrell is not signed. We do not know that reason, but there's a reason why 30 teams have passed on him. There's got to be something. Maybe he's wanting too much money. I don't know. It could be anything. I really don't know anything at all. I just know that right now, the manager of the Braves is looking in his bullpen, which has been having issues as of late. He's looking in there for a solution before he starts going outside the building. And that's exactly what you're supposed to do. So we'll see what he comes up with. I believe his quote from the other night was, surely there's somebody in here that can save, or we know, or there's somebody with a talent to save a game on there. So we'll see. We might see the emergence of the next Kimbrel, the next Mo Rivera, those kinds of guys. Yeah, who knows? But Braves definitely, after a pretty decent start, I think they're 8-8 at this point, 9-9, something like that. I have no problems whatsoever them being right there with that. Philly's going to fade a little bit. The Mets are going to, I don't know, they're going to outpitch everybody till July, and then we'll see what happens. But things still looking good. You got the Russell Wilson contract. He set the deadline of April 15th, which was Monday, and said, after that, I'm not talking long-term anything. So, Seattle, even though Seattle held more of the leverage because they could just set him up on 3 one-year deals based off the franchise tag. Almost forgot it there. Russell Wilson was able to – I think he was trying to get a percentage of the cap as it continues to go up. He was one of the first big players to really try that, and he was unsuccessful in doing that, but – many more are going to come after him. He did get a 4-year extension worth $140 million, which, yes, for you non-math majors, makes it about $35 a year. That's not bad coin. He is the team up there. He's the team. Who else up there? It's you know, I like Doug Baldwin, but the guy was like a fourth rounder or undrafted or what. He's not the face of the team. And it has nothing to do with where he was drafted, because Russell Wilson was a third rounder. Is Pete Carroll? No. Is Chris Carson? No. How many people know who Chris Carson is? I do, because he's usually my sleeper. I say that knowing that somebody in my league is going to nab him this year before I get to it. The Legion of Boom's gone. Well, you're going to, the face of the team going to be the left guard? No, it's Russell Wilson. It always has been. For some reason, they are determined, bound and determined, to run the ball, and play good defense. And then in the fourth quarter, when they're down 6-3, they say, hey, Russell, how about you win this one for us? And he finds Tyler Lockett on a 75-yard drag route. He finds Doug Baldwin in the middle of the field. He finds Luke Wilson. You know, it's Russell's been carrying this team for years. I mean, not carrying 100%, but Russell has been the heart of this team and the face of this team for a long time, and it's about time they recognize him. So glad to get around to that. Real quickly, I do want to get to the Atlanta United stuff, because Atlanta United did win 2-0 over the New England Revolution. Before anybody says anything, oh, New England's not any good. Well, last time I checked, Atlanta hadn't been playing real great yet either. So this was a good win. Rometty with the head injury. If you really want to hear a good take on that, go listen to this past Monday's Soccer Down Here episode. The first 15 minutes, Jason and John really get into head injury talk, because Jason shares his experience of the concussion that he still has symptoms of now, that he still deals with sensitivity to fluorescent lights and things like that. It's scary. I know a lot about them, and I could go on a 15-minute diatribe right here, a big rant about it, but no, they really spell it out well, and if you get a chance, go check them out. You can download their app, soccerdownhere.net, I believe, and they're also on Spreaker and some other places. But no, 2-0 for Atlanta United. Rometty hopefully will be back on the field soon. I just hope, for the sake of the person, of the human, that he heals from concussion in the most perfect way he can. But good win for United. Trust me, we are going to have some United guys on. We'll probably have some of the Soccer Down Here guys on coming up pretty soon. I think you guys will definitely enjoy that. Let's see. Let's look through real quick. We have not talked NHL playoffs, so let's do that. Told you right now that the only game on is NHL and the NHL is Carolina and the Capitals, and they are currently in the second intermission, where the Capitals are down 2-1. This would end the series at 2-2. I still say this thing's going 7. Other series, let's go ahead and get the crazy ones out of the way. The Columbus Blue Jackets, congratulations to them for knocking off the President's Trophy winning Tampa Bay Lightning 4-0, 4-0. Just trucked them. Just absolutely trucked them. Congratulations to them. I think it's actually good for hockey to show that, because Tampa Bay was almost on cruise control from like January on. So, I mean, and when they were winning 4-1, 5-2. They were winning by 3 or 4 goals at a time. So I think they just ran out of steam. They looked tired. They just got out hustled, and they got beat. The number one team out. The Islanders did exactly what I thought they would do, and they knocked out Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in 4 straight games. They would score too late when they needed to. Too late goals. No matter how persistent the Pittsburgh attack was, the Islanders seemed to always have an answer or be able to at least hold them at bay. They kept a foot on the gas. And when you keep the pedal down like that, you eliminate the Penguins in 4 games. So congratulations to the Islanders and the Blue Jackets on that. You got Nashville and Dallas. Game four is game four was last night, actually. Because it was 2-1, I think. I didn't stay up for that game because that was a late game. But I do know that Dallas had four goals in the first and another one in the second. And Nashville finally got on the board. There we go. That series is 2-2. 5-1 was the total. Okay, nobody scored anymore after that. All right, make a note of that. That series is tied 2-2. You got Winnipeg and the St. Louis Blues. That series is also tied 2-2 as the they're actually playing game five right now. Yeah, the first period just started. It is 1-0 Jets. After they pulled off the 2-1 victory in Game 4 just the other day. So, Game 5 going on there. Stars and Predators, Game 5 is coming up tomorrow. What else we got out west? Game 5 between the Sharks and Golden Knights, where the Golden Knights can close it out tonight. That is at 10 o'clock. You got Game 5 of Avalanche Flames. The Avalanche are actually up 3-1. It's another big team that may go down. One seeds are not very well. But that is also tonight at 10. So both of those games will be at 10. No. Game 5 of the Avalanche Flames will be tomorrow night at 10. And Saturday at 3 is the Predators-Stars Game 5. I told you Game 5 of the Blues-Jets is going on right now. Game 5 of Maple Leafs-Bruins, that is tied 2-2 as well. Game 5 will be tomorrow night at 7. I told you the Blue Jackets advance, the Islanders advance, and the Capitals currently lead 2-1 in the series. They trail 2-1. In game four here. I think game five would be on Saturday at 8. But it's really shaken up. You know, you got the Capitals who are trying to fight around. The Predators seem to start to get things in control. And then you got the Flames who could potentially be out. So NHL playoffs, and I tell people, each and every game this year has been spectacular. It is just tune to any game in the NHL. Looks like we got a caller. Let me see if I can get that to work. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Oh, this is Naj in Atlanta. But I didn't know something when y'all were talking about hockey. I was trying to wait till y'all got to something else.
Oh, no, we can easily go back. Yeah. I was just recapping the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs because each game has just been phenomenal.
Excuse me, man. I'm sure it was. I went to sleep for a second. What'd you say now? I'm joking. No shots, hockey fans.
No, it's fine. But, no, what were you going to talk about?
Oh, no, whatever you guys were talking about, man. Whatever you guys were doing.
Well,
I was
let's see.
I didn't know if y'all was talking about the Falcons, the Hawks, or whatever. I didn't know.
Well, I've actually hit a little bit of Braves, a little bit of Hawks, a little bit of Falcons, and we opened up talking about Tiger Woods.
Oh, okay. So I missed everything. I got you.
Well, the good thing is this will be in podcast form and other ways to listen to it. But on top of that, there was a couple little glitches in here, so it should condense it into a nice little package.
All right, cool. All right, man. Have a good one, dude.
I mean, we can talk about whatever if there's any of that you want to get into.
Hey, man, your show, let me know. Whatever you want to go. I just can't help you.
Well, I mean, does any of that pique your interest?
Oh, I hear you.
Anywhere you want to go, my man.
Well,
your show.
Well, I did go. I went through the Falcons schedule. I don't usually like to do that so much, but just based off of the way teams played last year, we're not factoring in anything. It's like as of today, if these teams played, I got the Falcons penciled in at 12-4. I actually think they'll be closer to 10-6 if I actually dug into it, but I gave them a few benefit of the doubts here and there. I think it's one of those years where the NFC South is going to be up for grabs, and I think the front runner is Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, there are some questions. Cam Newton's health, of course, number one. Number two, Drew Brees. Are we actually seeing the decline of Drew Brees? And is that why Teddy was willing to stay there? And, you know, Tampa, who the hell knows what's going to happen down there? Jameis's last, you know, chance to really keep his job and be considered a franchise guy. So the Falcons have more stability. So, you know, that's a good start going forward. And then pushing your boy out the door, Sark, you know, is probably the best thing to happen to him. So, yeah, I can see that. And, of course, getting all of the defense back, man, because you can't lose that many players and expect to be competitive. So, last year was kind of, you know, that was kind of an anomaly, man. You don't have that many people out for the season that early.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I do agree. I think part of Teddy Bridgewater wanted to start in a place like Miami, but he wanted some guarantees. I mean, not out-of-this-world guarantees. He just wanted to not just be a fringe player, and Miami didn't want to really budge off of just a baseline contract. So that's why he re-signed with New Orleans. On top of, I don't know if anybody else noticed it, but about the back – quarter of the season, Drew Brees, his accuracy and a few other things that he's usually really known for started to decline a little bit. We may start to see the decline of his skills this year a lot more than we did, you know, kind of like we did Peyton, even though Peyton's was based off hit Peyton Manning, that is, he was based off that neck injury. It started to see like the chinks in the armor were starting to rust a little bit. So that's why I think New Orleans is going to take a little bit of a step back. I agree with you. Tampa's got to get their act together. Bruce Arians is going to eventually do that. The problem is it's going to take him more than a year, and it's probably not going to be Jameis Winston at the front of it. And then I also agree that Carolina's always 50-50, and I feel like the coin's going to come up tails this year.
Yeah, well, like I said, you're talking about Cam's health, man, so anything can happen. And honestly, last year, we saw when they had to basically shut him down. He was out there probably at, you know, 75% maybe, and they're still able to win games.
Yeah.
So they're going to be a problem just because he's dangerous. But, yeah, there's a lot of issues there. Tampa's going to score a lot next year, man. You know, so they're going to be a problem in that sense. But the Drew Brees thing, yeah, man, the arm strength looked like it declined a bit. He was having trouble getting the ball to places that he normally doesn't. Even that controversial play that Saints fans are going to talk about forever and never let us not hear about, that was because of bad ball placement. Like, the DB was shocked, the receiver was shocked. Like Drew put that in the worst possible place, which caused, you know, the PI and everything else. That normally, that was a Drew Brees strike and touchdown. Easy. But, yeah, it was such a bad ball that it caused all that confusion.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. You know, basically the same thing you said is it's not only the arm strength and stuff like that, but he's been known to be one of the most accurate passers in the league. And that back quarter, that back third or whatever the season, all of a sudden, like you said, on that particular play, those ones that used to be a throw, a catch, and a touchdown were suddenly tipped up in the air. They were suddenly incomplete. They were suddenly interceptions, or he was having to get a pass interference call to get it to work. And it just I heard a theory that I kind of floated out a couple weeks ago, where I think if the Falcons have a down year, then I think Mike McCarthy is going to be the new coach next year. And I also think if the Saints have a down year, that Sean Payton's going to leave for Dallas and Drew Brees is going to retire. That's just, I mean, they're kind of far-fetched, they're kind of really out there, and they're kind of controversial, but I could see both of those happening really easily if there's two down years.
Yeah, especially the Drew Brees one, because if it is, like, you know, falling off the table like Peyton, a guy of that stature doesn't want to come back as half of what he used to be. So, yeah, I could see him retiring in that situation. The Mike McCarthy hire, God, I hope that doesn't happen. One of the least innovative good old boy club coaches to ever exist, man. I am not a Mike McCarthy fan. And I think a lot of the trying to get 12 men on the field and all those other plays you see Aaron Rodgers doing is because their offense was so limited, not very creative, not very innovative. And because of that, you see Aaron hoping that he could get somebody on a free play all of the time, because at that point then he can really try to, you know, spread you out and do something deep to you. So I'm not a big McCarthy guy. I hope they don't bring him in. But I can see it happening, because he must be good in interviews.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's the only reason he's not coaching this year is the only job he was really interested in was the Jets job. And so when he didn't get that one, he come out and made that statement and said, well, you know, I really just kind of wanted the Jets job, and so I'll just wait, because he knew he wasn't a good fit in those other places. And I think he's just going to wait because he knows something good's going to come this year. And I'm not saying that he would be a great hire here in Atlanta initially, but I mean, I like Dan Quinn. I think Dan Quinn's a great coach, and he's going to be a great coach. But if you did swap and ended up going McCarthy, it's going to be like Arians down in Tampa. It's going to take a year or so for him to iron out and get the guys he wants in the building, and by then you're going to be on to a different quarterback. So it would be a real struggle here for Falcons fans.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something I guess we're going to have to see in the draft, if they even explore a second-day quarterback. Because, yeah, it is about time to start either grooming or getting a developmental guy in there just to see what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah, I definitely agree. I've actually been saying it for a couple years that you need to have competition behind Matt Ryan, because he's really never had anybody to even potentially threaten his playing time. He knows good and well, no matter what he does, they're not taking him out because they owe him so much money. And there's, I mean, what the best backup they've ever had was Matt Schaub, who last had a good season 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well. That's the thing. NFL teams, they don't like to bring competition in for somebody who they think is the guy, which is a weird way of doing things, because every other position is,
yeah,
you know, you got to fight for it every year. So it's weird that they do that with quarterbacks, but I don't know, man. It's like if they were to try to do it, I think Matt's agent is on the phone with them immediately. Like, okay, what are you doing? Why is this person being brought in? You know, I think it starts going down that way.
Exactly.
But I agree with you, though. I think everybody should be pushed. I don't think they should do that with quarterbacks.
Well, and Dan Quinn comes
man.
From Seattle, and that's Pete Carroll's way of doing things, is there's usually like a competition Wednesday or competition Thursday where, you know, everything's open as far as, you know, competing for the day's accolades or something. So, you know, I haven't really heard anything on the Falcons front if they're really after anybody, but I do know that, you know, teams like the Chargers, teams like the Patriots, and I've really heard here recently that the Packers are going to potentially looking for the guy after Rodgers this year.
Yeah. And see, my thing with that is always this. In the NFL, even if you don't have a plan for that dude going forward in the future, if you can just develop them to the point to where they look good preseason-wise, it turns into a blue chip of value that you can flip, you know, during draft day. So there's no harm in it. If quarterbacks are overvalued, take one and raise the price of them.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
Exactly.
But yeah,
it's
let me go ahead.
It's like buying a house or buying a car. Yeah, all you got to do is, you know, when you buy a house, you buy a car. We'll do a car because most people don't buy multiple houses. You might buy one car saying, well, you know what, I can fix it up and drive it for a little bit, and then, you know, I can get a little more money out of it just in doing that. Well, you can do the same thing with these players, especially quarterbacks. All you got to do, like you said, you polish them up, you make them look good a little bit here and there, and then you can almost trade them off for a higher pick than you used to get them.
Yeah. Yeah. And New England with Brissett and, you know, what's his name? Jimmy Garoppolo.
The Garoppolo.
Like, you've seen them do this multiple times. Matt Castle. They've taken low-value quarterbacks and turned it into something that they could really use in the draft. But, man, let me go and get out of here, man. Good talking with you, though, man.
Hey, no problem, man. I've now made note where the computer recognized your number. Before, it wouldn't show me what number it was. I got it where it recognized the number now, where we'll know next time you call in. We'll try to bring you on a little sooner.
All good, man. You have a good night.
Hey, you too, man. Thanks for calling.
All right.
And see, just like that, that was Naj from Atlanta. He has weighed in a good handful of times. We love talking to him. He's always got good opinions. You heard some of the good ones there. We need, you know, if you guys ever want to be a part of the show, 347-826-7448. We're about to get out of here now. Got into some good stuff tonight. We got into some Tiger Woods, some Russell Wilson. We talked about the Falcons' schedule a little bit. You know, I got them at 12-4, probably 10-6 more realistically. Like I said, we talked about Russell Wilson's contract and how getting that percentage of the cap as it goes up is what he started the ball on. Other people will take advantage of that. Tiger winning the Masters, not only Tiger's back, it brought us all back together and us all back to television. Zion's going to be in the draft. Luke Walton went from L.A. to Sacramento. I think it's a good move. Talked about the NBA playoffs a little bit. Not a whole lot of surprises really there. Some decent matchups in the first round. I think second and third rounds where you're going to really see some fun stuff. The Braves lost their closer. I don't think they should get Kimbrel. The Clippers had the big – they erased – 31-point deficit the other night to beat the Warriors. That was really cool. They're a really fun watch, but you can't beat the Warriors 4 games out of 7. So good luck to the Clippers, though. Maybe another time. And Atlanta United, we hope Eric Rometty feels better soon. And congratulations on them winning 2-0 against New England. I'm Jeremy the Impact York for Cody, for Reggie, for Coach, for Joseph, for John, for Jake, and for all of you guys, especially Naj. Thanks for calling in. Shout out to Keel Coleman, who gave us a great shout out the other day on Facebook. Really appreciate it, bud. We will see you all later down the road. Deuces, gooses. Go watch hockey. Yeah.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?